I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You best believe we're diving into hell later this weekend, because Helldivers 2 taking the internet by storm, and I'm probably burying the lead because I don't remember what else we need to talk about this week.
There's not a whole lot of exciting stuff. We'll probably talk a lot about Microsoft.
Yeah, might as well get right into it.
Their business, baloney.
We all got places to be and things to do.
Yeah, the Gamers 2 podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary, and anything else that might pique our interest.
Like these new releases.
New releases? What?
Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Lisfanga, the Time Shift Warrior for PC. Ultros for PC, PlayStation. Number 4, Tomb Raider Remastered for PC, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox. I had to pause for what that NS was.
Yeah. Well, that's weird. That's weird.
And Mario versus Donkey Kong for the Switch. You can have odds.
All right.
You can be disappointing.
As I always am, especially in the bedroom. The industry is still feeding the layoff monster. Here we go.
Contrary to popular belief, I don't know that.
Daybreak has cut less than 15 of their staff. The cuts had impacted the teams for EverQuest, Dungeons and Dragons Online, DC Universe Online, and Lord of the Rings Online.
I mean, it's nice that they say less than 15. It's like, okay, 10 people.
Yeah, how big's their staff?
Like, there's 10 people. How one? It's all layoffs themselves are relative to how big the studio is.
Because
when you say less than 15 people, is that just like 15 people got, or like 10 people got fired? That's not the same as layoffs.
Yeah.
Layoffs, there needs to be a percentage. Or larger number than 10.
Are any of those MMOs going anywheres?
Going anywheres or still online? They're all still online.
Which is surprising in itself.
Yes. Dungeons and Dragons mainly.
Yeah. That's the only one that might have an upswing here.
No, that's the one that's weird that it's still online, I think.
Oh, really?
To me.
I feel like I think
the other ones have enough fandoms just kind of behind it. Because like EverQuest 2 exists, but like
yeah,
EverQuest is just, dumb as it is, it's a legendary title.
Yeah. I don't know. Scopely has confirmed it may be cutting ties with a number of employees who've been working on its Kingdom Maker publishing team. The cuts reportedly impacted 38 people.
Love when their press release is basically them breaking up with them.
Yeah.
We got to cut ties. Sorry.
It's not you. It's me.
It's me. Yeah.
Vancouver-based Blackbird Interactive confirmed that it had laid off staff for the second time in 6 months. The studio is currently at work on Earthless and Homeworld 3, which has been delayed several times, including last week. And indie developer Threshold Games has shut down after announcing its closure last week. So they made good on their promise.
I was just completing the loop.
There were some other ones too, but,
Yeah, spoiler alert for the rest of the year. We're going to say this again.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a trend for a while.
We're going to be doing a whole thing. We're on the downswing. Want to talk about Microsoft?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Microsoft addressed recent reports and rumors about a change to its first-party strategy in an Xbox podcast presentation, confirming that a slate of 4 titles will be released on non-Xbox consoles. Xbox head Phil Spencer said that Starfield and Indiana Jones, 2 games that reports had named as multi-platform candidates, are not among the four titles, reassuring players that this is, quote, not a change to our fundamental exclusive strategy, end quote. Spencer said the individual game teams would make their own announcements about going to other platforms, but said two were community-driven titles, while the other two were smaller games, quote, never meant to be billed as platform exclusives, end quote. Do we guess what those are?
Later in the rumor roundup, there will be, I think Tom Henderson lists them out.
Okay, because I'm going to guess Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, actually, this will be good. Take a guess with four.
Two community-driven titles. Sea of Thieves and... I don't know the other one. Fortin.
So, when you see all four, you'll be like, that all makes complete sense.
Yeah, no.
And you're probably going to kick yourself if you don't think of them now, being like, yeah.
Well, because the other one in the other category of not meant to be full as platform exclusives is Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah, that was one of the other ones rumored. Yep.
Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush. What's the other one of each of those categories?
They're smaller titles. Smaller as in, like, they're not as... They flew under the radar more. I think they're from the same studio. Let me Google it real quick.
I'm going to keep reading while I think about it.
Okay.
In either case, Spencer said they had reached their full potential on Xbox and PC. Xbox president Sarah Bond also appeared on the podcast to announce that Activision Blizzard games would begin to be added into Game Pass offerings, starting with Diablo 4, which would be added to the catalog on March 28th. Bond also emphasized that Microsoft is still working on hardware for the future, saying the focus for the next generation is, quote, delivering the largest technical leap you will ever have seen in a hardware generation, end quote.
Yeah, that both titles are from the same
studio. Place. Is that place Obsidian?
Yes.
The Outer Worlds is already on other consoles. That can't be that.
One's got a community.
Grounded.
Yes.
Okay.
The other one.
Making progress.
The other one is one of those. It was a smaller Obsidian title that kind of flew into the
radar. Is it their 2D one?
Yes.
Not called Avowed.
Correct. It's called Pentiment.
That one. Look at me go. I know these things. I just need some help.
Yeah, but all four of those, you're like, yeah, it makes sense.
Subsection A, Xbox head Phil Spencer reportedly told employees that Microsoft isn't planning to stop making consoles. During subsection B, I'm not reading the rest of these subsections. Deal with it.
We got yeah, B, I fucked C, up D. the numbering at some point.
Yeah, we got B, C, D, and E here, so don't worry about it. During last week's rumored Xbox town hall meeting, Xbox president Sarah Bond reportedly told employees that every screen is an Xbox. The fuck do you mean, Sarah?
Well, you're about to say it again, so...
The Verge has obtained a copy of the memo Phil Spencer sent to employees, and he outlined a new strategy where every screen is an Xbox. Phil Spencer said that Apple's proposal for opening the iOS store in Europe doesn't go far enough for Xbox to exist on the platform.
Yeah, them complying with whatever the new rule is called.
And Xbox Game Pass now has 34 million fully paid subscribers.
Yeah.
That's a lot of subscribers.
That is. That's a good amount.
A lot of scrobblers. It's a reference that nobody's going to get. I think I know what they mean with the every screen is an Xbox.
Yeah.
Of like, we're going to try to get this to the point where you're playing on your phone. Guess what? Xbox. Yeah. You're playing on your TV. Well, it's an Xbox. You're playing on your PC. Xbox on your PC. It's just such a dumb tagline.
Phil Spencer did some interviews, and there was some more of the memo that leaked. That's basically it, where they want it to be a continuous experience, you know, like they build, I think it was Xbox or Microsoft did it last console generation, you know, where you could be playing on your console in your living room and then have to go somewhere and get up and while you're on the subway be playing on your cell phone. And then, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, literally what the Vita and everything like have always tried to achieve.
Yeah.
Never stop playing.
Yeah. That's the plan.
Don't stop playing games.
All right. Number three, PlayStation is looking at bringing more of its exclusive first-party titles to other platforms, such as PC, in an effort to grow its games business. During an earnings call following the release of its latest financial results, Sony president and COO Hiroki Totoki, I really got to figure out how you say his name, told investors that making PlayStation exclusive multi-platform would help its operating income improve, which was down 15% to only $6.5 billion. Quote, if we have strong first-party content, not only with our console, but also other platforms like computers, we can help operating profit to improve, end quote. There has been a lot of conversation this week around that topic and last week due to Helldivers and how it released on the same day on PC, and it kind of blew all the other PlayStation exclusives out of the water as far
$40.
As $40. Yeah. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought it'd be successful? Oh my God. Mastermind over there.
This entire fucking podcast for the last 3 years.
So maybe we'll get some, we won't have to deal with timed exclusives as much as we used to.
Maybe.
What a day that would be if we didn't have to buy PlayStations and we could just get all the exclusives on PC. Then what would you do? I don't know. Probably still buy a PlayStation.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either, because sometimes the convenience, I think I would just get a second PC for the living room at that point. Or stream it. Yeah.
Yeah, or stream it. Stream it works too.
Big picture or whatever?
No, well,
the Steam Link?
Steam Link's got to come in useful at some point, right? There's no way I have one of those in that drawer for no reason.
Yeah, I got one somewhere as well.
Number four. Sony has confirmed that Rise of the Ronin will not launch in South Korea. According to Ruli Web, Sony did not give a reason for canceling the launch, but it's believed to be connected to comments made by the game's director, Fumihiko Yasuda, regarding 19th century scholar Shun Yoshida. Yoshida taught many of the leaders of the Meiji... Why did I get this? Meiji Restoration, which brought imperial rule back to Japan and was a key figure in the 1873 debate as to whether Japan should conquer Korea. While this was decided against at the time, Japan later took control of Korea in 1910 and occupied it for 35 years. As such, Yoshida is a controversial figure in Korea, and his inclusion in Rise of the Ronin has sparked criticism. In a behind-the-scenes video promoting Rise of the Ronin, Yasuda compared Yoshida to ancient Greek philosopher Socrates, saying, quote, I wanted to depict his teaching and his life from the moment I started working on Rise of the Ronin. He wasn't just a philosopher. He insisted on the importance of taking action, end quote. Quick history lesson there for anybody that gave a shit.
Some good old historical controversy. Korea and Japan can't get along. Not that I blame Korea, obviously.
I know, you're sounding real wishy-washy over here.
Japan, you know, just like everyone else.
Probably butchered all those names, too.
The only one I know for sure is it's Meiji Restoration.
It is Meiji?
Okay. Yeah, that's the only one I know for sure.
That's the one I was like, not possible. And I don't know the accent on the O in Shoen.
Yeah, I don't. I have no
Shoen?
Idea.
Maybe. Sean? I don't know.
All right.
I am unsure.
Glad. I don't know what this actually stands for, and I should have looked it up and I didn't. But it's GLAAD. Released its first State of the LGBTQ Inclusion in Video Games report, building around the results of a Nielsen survey that found 17% of active gamers identified as LGBTQ. Nielsen's survey covered 1,452 active PC and console gamers between June and August of last year. The percentage of LGBTQ gamers increases in younger demographics, the survey found, with 23-28% of those under 35 identifying as LGBTQ. Some other interesting findings. Did you find out what it stands for?
Working on it.
Okay. Glade found that fewer than 2% of games on Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Steam's platforms have LGBTQ representation in them. LGBTQ respondents were more likely than non-LGBTQ gamers to play single-player games, 52% versus 43%. And cooperative multiplayers, which was 32% versus 26%, but less likely to play competitive multiplayer titles, 28% to 34%. 52%, go ahead.
Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Okay. It's an interesting one. 52% of LGBT...
Had to go to fucking Wikipedia, too.
Oh, wild.
They couldn't just put that on their site somewhere? Got all this other new shit on their site, and they couldn't just put what they stand for? Come on!
I guess we should know. I don't know.
That's probably true. We've talked about them before.
52% of LGBTQ players reported having been on the receiving end of harassment in games, compared to 28% of non-LGBTQ players. 42% of LGBTQ players said that they have avoided a game because they expected to be harassed in it, and 27% have quit playing a game because of the harassment they received in it. So there you go.
I mean, listen.
I have a question but go ahead first.
The numbers are sad.
Yes.
You don't like to see that. And at that same time, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't surprise me.
42% saying that they avoided a game because of they expected to be harassed in it. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine as well, but like how do you know someone's LGBTQ on a video game? Like, I would have to assume...
But to that same extent, it depends on what you're defining as harassment.
That's a good point, because I guess...
If you're just there...
The common harassment is, like, you know, dropping F-bombs.
Right. If somebody doesn't come, like, isn't directly attacking you, but is just being derogatory...
Yeah, in general.
That's still, I believe, considered harassment.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The way that, like, it's viewed. So it's like, okay, that's still harassment. So if that's the case, and it's just like, think of the Call of Duty lobbies that we've existed in. It's like, yep, that would count.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm curious. Obviously they did this and like kept it private, but I'm curious if they're like, okay, out of the 42% of people that said they avoided a game, what game?
I think they did go into
just for fun. What were the optics on which game it was? Was it Call of Duty?
I think they did go into genres, like, so you could get an idea.
Yeah, you could probably narrow it down.
Yeah. What other interesting...
was it?
I don't know.
Was
I mean,
it, was it Total War?
Yeah.
Was it the RTS kids and Civilization?
They can be real rough sometimes. No, I mean,
you want to talk about weird things? What was it? Greece, finally like acknowledging same-sex relationships or something.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
It's something about, you know, like ending a 300-year like ban or something like that. Yeah. It's like, you guys invented it. Literally all you were doing back in the day was fucking anything that walked with a hole.
It's true.
How were you against this? Your That's entire true. Country was founded on the idea. Hey, what's up? You want to fuck? Like, that's how conversations...
That's a wine.
That's how conversations went. You doing anything later? No, we're just going to watch the game. Want to fuck instead? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not? Not busy.
Like, what was the whole controversy, in quotes, controversy around... Oh my God, it wasn't Alexander.
I mean, there was,
or maybe it was Alexander.
About the whatever. Alexander Netflix show.
Yeah, the show. And they're like, oh my God, they made him gay in the
they
first episode.
They made him episode. Gay. And it's like,
and all of us are like,
have you picked up a history book?
Do you not know anything? Kind of like, what was just happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Philip His dad, too. All of them. That's the point.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Number six. French Game Workers Union, STJV. You want to talk about button acronyms in it? We don't know what they stand for. Organized a strike
that
across...
That one I purposely removed because it was in French. And I was like, I don't want...
You don't want the chance
that the chance that it's going to be me. And it's so bad that I don't like...
No, I don't even want to hear Nate try.
It was long, dude. It was real long.
I believe it. Organized a strike across three Ubisoft studios with almost 700 Ubisoft workers joining the picket line. STJV called for the strike earlier this month following the failure of the annual salary negotiations at Ubisoft. Union representatives working at Ubisoft talked to French publication Game Cult, terrible name, to shed some more light on the strike, with one Ubisoft Paris worker explaining, quote, the strategy, I should do this in a French accent, but I'm not going to, the strategy chosen by management aims at saving $200 million over the next 2 years among production costs. We are contesting this strategy. Quote, when you are a game development studio, the right way to make money is to make video games in the best possible conditions so they can be of the right quality. It's not by skimping on the workers who build them or by saving on the tools they use that you're going to make money in a capitalist context. Workers want to be proud of what they ship, and overall, it's not by struggling to pay your rent or by working in poor conditions that you can work properly, end quote. Ubisoft's sinking to the bottom.
Yep. And I'm sure we'll hear about some massive layoffs next week.
Skull and Bones looking like shit.
Oh my God, looks real fucking bad.
Everything I see about it is just like, oh no.
Oh no.
we fixed this, though. We fixed this.
Well, you know, then maybe they'll pull a No Man's Sky. Number seven.
Here's the problem with that.
Yes.
Sure. You want to pull a No Man's Sky? How long did you have to pull a No Man's Sky?
I want to say like 6 years, but that feels like too long.
2015. Just to hit you with a quick...
What?
I'm almost positive I'm correct in that.
2015.
And it took at least five for us to go back.
2015. And they weren't starting from scratch. They had, like, all of the ship, like, a good basis for all the ship sailing and mechanics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Ubisoft, I think you've...
Really fucked up this time.
I think you've lost your game-making card.
They just have one card. It's just the size of a business card that is just stuck in Yves Guillemot's office. That's just licensed to game make. We're going to revoke that now.
I need that back.
And your gun.
Hello Games is once again
back. Weird transition.
With a massive No Man's Sky update called Omega. The headline feature is the addition of the Omega Expedition. Which is due to run for 4 weeks, which the studio said has been created from scratch to be the ideal introduction to newcomers. The expedition will guide new users through the basics of base building, trading, space combat, lore, and more, thanks to a series of milestones and quick missions. At the same time, the Omega Expedition features some of the best rewards available through expeditions. There's a reason this expedition is geared towards new players. No Man's Sky is free to play this weekend until Monday 19th, the 19th. Oh my God, I can't talk. For the first time since its launch in 2016. Any progress made during the free weekend will remain available after purchasing the game.
Still doing it.
Still doing it.
Just slamming out stuff.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I mean, I don't know. It's wild. Probably better than fucking Starfield at this point.
It might have been.
They've added so much like story shit into it.
Yeah. I like their space stuff, I think, a little bit more. I don't know. Something about still not a huge fan of space combat.
Yeah.
Probably unless it was in like Elite Dangerous or maybe in Eve is where I would potentially excel, where it's just all point click and it's not you actually like really flying a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like based on stats or something.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3 and Marvel Spider-Man 2 were the big winners at the DICE Awards.
Wow. I didn't look at this. They weren't kidding.
They win everything, and that's just what we don't need to have that link at all?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Marvel won, Spider-Man 2 won 6 awards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Baldur's Gate won 5. And there's probably somewhere between 15 and 20 awards total.
Well, good news. We don't have to read the rest of them. Just know that DICE Awards happened and those two cleaned up.
Yeah, they basically didn't win any awards that they couldn't win. So, like, adventure game, family game, fighting game, racing game, sports game, strategy, online, VR. Yeah, they just didn't. Any game they weren't in, they didn't win. Any award they weren't in, they didn't win. All right. That's pretty ridiculous. Game of the year was Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay. I sign on to that. I agree.
Okay. Any other ones you're curious about or no?
Not really.
Okay.
Sad that Alan Wake didn't at least take one of them.
Oh, they did. Alan Wake did take one.
I'm sorry. Take one in one of those categories. Like, instead of.
Let me look that up real quick. No, it took one that they would have been in. Achievement in Art Direction.
Okay. Good. God, such a good game.
Yeah.
I think back on it every now and then. I'm like, Spider-Man. Like, this is a fucking good year.
Yeah. It's weird because it is a good year, but like, it, for some reason to me, it doesn't feel like a good year. Maybe because like I didn't play anything.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't 2018 for us where it was God of War, Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. It wasn't just like,
where it's like bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's 100% jam into these. It was. Okay, there was no Horizon. There was no like. There was no none of your typical sit downs.
Yeah, yeah.
But also like the quality of games of like. I mean, walk into the Game of the Year award and you go, or Game of the Year conversation. You go, what are these four? That's a pretty good time.
On paper, all the games that I should love, and I probably would if I played them. Like on paper, I would like Spider-Man, Baldur's Gate 3, Alan Wake. I would like all those games.
Yep. Agreed.
All right, time for the rumor roundup. A little bit longer of a one, but you know.
Trust me, he rounded them up.
YouTuber Moore's Law is Dead has talked a bit about the PlayStation 5 Pro. corroborating earlier leaks. The YouTuber mentions that Sony is currently planning to use 16 gigs of GDDR6 memory over a 256-bit bus. Nerd. Additionally, Moore's Law is Dead mentions that the GPU will offer 60 compute units in the full die, with Sony planning to cut it down to 56, disable it down to 56. Another interesting tidbit from the video is that AMD is said to expect a holiday 2024 launch for the PS5 Pro. And they're thinking, as in Moore's Law is Dead, is thinking that it will be $500 without a disk drive.
Bold move, Cotton.
Yeah, we'll see about that one. I can't imagine that selling well. The CEO of Starbreeze said that its Dungeons & Dragons co-op game is still in pre-production, but is on track for a 2026 release.
There's going to be a lot to that might burn.
Yeah. AMD leaker Kepler has some comments on the cost of future consoles. Quote, cost per transistor has remained flat through FinFETs and will go up with GAA FETs and CFETs. The days of free cost savings with die shrinks is over, and things will only get worse. Future consoles will either have increasingly smaller performance gains or significantly higher prices, end quote.
Just for the quick, I don't agree.
Okay. Boom. There you go.
Because you're, to have the idea of future consoles means that you're predicting 16 years into the future.
Yeah, because they're not, no, the next gen or the generation after that is not going to use any, either of those technologies.
Yeah, you're already 4 years out of the next gen.
Those technologies are cutting edge right now. Cutting edge.
But you need to be 4 years out immediately to predict the next generation. And then you need to be another 8 roughly out from that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like, oh, future things will always do the same thing. You're like,
that, and what this doesn't take into account is software, which I think the next generation, I do genuinely think that the next generation will be a big jump hardware wise. But I think the generations after that, you'll see software, big software jumps. And then we'll might start to see that those technologies trickle down into consumer products. This is like CFETs and gate all around FETs are like, there's just now like equipment that's using that shit.
Yeah, like I'm not that concerned.
Microsoft is said to have been considering the idea to bring other major franchises to rival platforms, including the Gears of War franchise, the next Doom, and Flight Simulator. And that was via The Verge's Tom Warren. Oh, and Tom Warren was the one who said the four Xbox games going multi-platform are Hi-Fi Rush, Pentiment, Sea of Thieves, and Grounded.
Warren and I, same page.
Yep. Tom Henderson has hinted that the Xbox handheld rumors are true.
Okay, just show me with an Xbox.
Show me your dick. Criterion Games.
Just two guys being dudes.
held an NDA meeting with Need for Speed content creators this week.
I'm so close to being done with that franchise. Like I'm 1 foot over the edge.
Yeah. Nice edge. About to jump.
Yeah.
Switch 2 release.
It's not going to be a jump. I'm just going to fall.
Are we kicking them off the edge?
Yeah.
Sparta.
This is Sparta. You can't finish it.
Switch 2 release is now rumored to have slipped to early 2025.
I just start the kick.
And the original Switch will remain the focus in 2024. Tom Henderson confirmed that Respawn is working on a first-person Mandalorian game where players will take on the role of a Mandalorian bounty hunter when the galaxy was still ruled by the Empire. Thanks to a jetpack, players will be able to dash, jump, and boost slide in a very fast-paced experience that will reward style. For example, health will be restored based on successive kills. Among the weapons and combat tools will be a wrist rocket, grapple hook, a visor for tagging bounties and enemies in war. Lastly, the game will feature a collection of linear levels set on different planets in the Star Wars universe. As for when the game will be released, Tom Henderson only mentioned that it is at least a year or two away.
Watch it with those wrist rockets. A quick-paced shooter that has things that like an Apex Legend might have.
Interesting.
I wonder if they would use potential Titanfall tech, which had like jetpacks and shit in it.
Like wall running and shit.
Oh yeah, we're gonna make a Mandalorian shooter. Literally, the gaming industry being surprised and me going, "Yeah,
I fucking hope
you have all of this. You have literally all the tech. You're sitting on it. You technically should have. You should be doing Anthem. You should take Anthem's exoskeleton that EA created, buy it from them, and then do it. It would work.
If there isn't a Titanfall reference where you as the Mandalorian get put into an AT-ST, I'll be very upset.
What if it's an AT-ST with hands? And it just picks you up and puts you in it.
A prototype AT-ST where you put hands on it?
Where it's like a really crude way of it. It's just one hand. It's just like a really cruel like elevator because they didn't know how to get you in.
I just want it to be like a bucket with like, it only makes one motion. It's just like, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Almost like a, what if it's like a monkey's tail? So it's an AT-ST that just runs forward, but just has that arm off the back of it.
Yeah,
like a
monkey
tail that just picks you up and throws you in like a dumpster, like a dump truck picking up the dumpster on the side of the road.
Like a backhoe or something.
Yeah.
Reverse backhoe.
Anyway, let's talk about some questionable things we didn't write full paragraphs on. Alan Wake 2 has sold 1.3 million units. Remedy has confirmed plans to grow and expand the Alan Wake franchise, hopefully making Alan Wake 3. As far as I'm concerned. Number two, Austin-based developer Monumental has entered into an agreement to acquire game publisher and web portal Kongregate for an unknown sum. Probably a large one. Bandai Namco's Q3 revenue rose 3.9% to $5.1 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Number four, the development team behind iRacing, the subscription-based racing simulation PC game, has announced a major milestone, the upcoming addition of Dynamic Rain. The feature will be a part of the new Tempest weather system, which is slated to be added to the game next month.
It's been a meme, an iRacing meme. Because they've been promising rain for like 2 years now.
I know, which is also just still hysterical to me that they're like, would you like to hear our milestone? Weather. And you're like...
haven't racing games had that forever?
No, rain. Real rain. Oh, you should go play another one then, huh?
Someone's going to come to your house and dump water on your head while you're playing.
You can attach to your sim rig a fan which will spritz you as you drive by.
Someone will fucking do it.
Oh, 100%. They'll be in like a buggy race and you'll just be getting... They also have sand to throw in their face when they're racing on the beach. Number five, Dragon's Dogma 2 may not be Capcom's only $70 game. The company is evaluating a price review due to increased costs. Number six, journalist Tom Warren asked whether Microsoft would try to bring a proper Xbox Cloud gaming app to Wii. Already talked about this, and they said no.
That should have been up top.
Number seven, Kingdom Come Deliverance passed 6 million sales on its 6th anniversary, which is actually kind of wild when you think about how the game launched.
Yeah. Dude, the people who I know who've played that game are like, they're nerds. Big fans of it. Like, they've played it multiple times.
Massive nerds.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
Dirt.
Data point.
They just like throwing dirt. Literally. Number eight, Immortals of Avium cost $85 million without marketing.
That's disgusting.
Yep. Number nine, Post Malone is curating WWE's 2K24 soundtrack and will be a DLC character. Okay, so guess what? Post Malone made the soundtrack. He's going to be a fighter. Who fucking cares? Number 10. I can't express enough if I was like, oh yeah, and Rihanna did the picked the songs for the soundtrack, and I'm just like,
cool,
okay. Am I supposed to give you $70 for this garbage?
Like, cool, the soundtrack's fine, but, like, why is the ladder stuck to my foot and I can't do anything? The game's buggy as all hell. From Software has acquired full rights to the Elden Ring trademark from Bandai Namco. Interesting.
Yeah, apparently Bandai Namco technically owned a good portion of the IP because they published the game internationally.
Number 11, a member of the PAL World development team has advised fans to try playing other games while they wait for content updates. Quote, there are so many amazing games out there to play, you don't need to feel guilty about hopping from game to game, end quote. And for the record, yeah, that's how all games should work.
Stop bitching about wanting content.
Touch grass.
He said it.
I said the quiet part out loud. Number 12, the voice actor behind Adam Jensen in Deus Ex Human Revolution and Deus Ex Mankind Divided claims Atlas Montreal asked him to stop talking about the character publicly several years ago. So, hey, by the way, the guy behind Adam Jensen from Deus Ex. Like, do we just have two Deus Ex stories back, like, back-to-back weeks? What are we doing here? Bandai Namco has confirmed that it recently canceled at least 5 games in development and said it plans to have stricter quality control going forward.
The Deus Ex, you know, I'm trying to see how powerful this whole speaking things into existence is.
Yeah. Force it into the open.
Yep.
Number 14, Embracer Group canceled 29 unannounced games during a 6-month period last year, and the restructuring has resulted in the company cutting 1,400 jobs with more coming. Okay, Embracer, you gotta fucking calm down. You gotta calm the fuck down. Helldivers 2 developer Arrowhead Game Studios has said it's planning to staff up in response to the success of the title, and I also believe they told you to play other games at some point.
All right. Developers being like, stop bitching, go play other games if you don't want to wait.
We got things to do.
We're working here.
Yeah, I'm working here. I don't know why all developers are now from the Bronx, but anyway, it's been however many 7 days. What have you been up to?
Not a whole lot, you know, the huge, as you like to say.
It's true. I do like to say that.
Consuming quick content in the form of anime and still watching Masters of the Air. Yeah, that's about it, really. Reading when I can. Been busy at work and at the old house, just trying to make sure that it is in a somewhat livable state.
I feel you there.
I'm going to try to download Helldivers and maybe play that this weekend. We'll see how that goes.
Woo!
I'll be fucking wild. First time I'll touch a controller in a video game. And Samantha texts me and she's like, what's your Steam name? And I was like, what did I say? I was like, I wouldn't even bother telling whoever's asking because I haven't played a game in over a year or something. Like,
I don't know who's asking. No.
That's basically what I said. I was like, I don't know who's asking, but I'm not even going to bother.
Who was asking?
I don't know.
Oh,
never. I'm not sure there's ever a phone never out. Found out.
Woman, when have you seen me playing a game?
That's basically. I'm like, yeah, I gotta get back on the old sim rig.
Gotta get finished.
It does. It does need to be finished. It's
because then we can play Helldivers in that.
That'd be interesting.
Just really long HDMI cord from the PlayStation into that, and then you can just never get out of
it. Yeah. I'll just bring the PlayStation in there. Fuck it. That's it. What about you? What have you been up to? Slamming Ghost energy drinks over there. Chose a horrible time to ask him what he's been up to.
That's how we do things here. I'm almost done with Assassin's Creed Mirage. I think I got 2 big baddies to kill.
What do we think? It's like a 30-hour game, 40-hour game?
I think I'm at 12.
Okay, never mind.
I'm at 12, but I am on my... I'm going places.
Yeah.
So I think the time to beat's like 15.
Okay.
So I might come in like right at that.
Okay.
And then it's back to Yakuza Like a Dragon. Hopefully get some Helldivers in with the boys this weekend.
Fuck some stuff up.
myself trying to remember how to play on a controller with a shooter.
It's like, you think you're bad. You wait. You just wait.
Oh, I know you're going to be worse than me, but it's the shocking realization when I go, like, I played a mission on Helldivers on my PC, and I was like, yeah, this feels like a normal shooter. Just got to kind of figure out, like, the care package system, essentially.
Yeah.
It's all the button, like, shortcuts, like, left, left, up, down, right, up, down. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's just WASD. Like, you know, I can do that. And then it's like, okay, that's the only thing I have to, like, try to, like, remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go downstairs and I play it on PlayStation. And I'm like, all right, I know left trigger aims and right trigger shoots. Wow, my aim is fucking terrible. It's just all this stuff of, like, the standards that I used to be able to play shooters with on a console are gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, after enough time, it'll come back to me and we'll be in the swing and it'll be a routine and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it's like right now, like if we were still playing Destiny. We got even Grand Theft Auto on the PlayStation.
Oh, my God.
Like, I would be so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Versus if we were playing them on PC, I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm just vibing.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that part of being just, like, disheartened at how awful and out of, like, practice and out of touch I am on games.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
It's always the getting back into a groove. It's, yeah. You know, it's the whole, if you don't use it, you lose it, but... It's more of a, in this, it's like, if you don't use it, you just have to take a long time to get it back. And once you have it back, it's like, all right. So yeah, just playing those and, that's where we're at. Still listening to stuff, still doing other things.
New Hardcore History podcast.
House in Livable State is in progress. I got to do some cleaning this weekend and start trying to, like, formulate plans for when the weather officially gets better, what rooms I'm ripping apart, and I've started some things in some rooms where I'm like, I'm gonna slowly acquire things that I know I need to do in these rooms type of thing.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
So that way I have everything by the time that I'm just like there's a solid part of me that's like, that might not be here. That might just be gone in the summer. But at the same time, I'm like, it functions. I don't really need to get rid of it. So because I'm not going to replace, if I get rid of it, it's not getting replaced. It's just, yeah.
It's kind of like a chair here or something.
Right. But it's, at the same time, it's like just kind of convenient and doesn't need to. But there's just a lot of other stuff that's got to go. Old keyboards that I don't have a reason to keep. Old whatever. And kind of do a purge and then a strip down. And then the dining room is getting done maybe Memorial Day weekend. Maybe before that, if the weather's nice before that. That'll be a full strip down, paint, everything, blah, 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 blah. So.
That'd be nice.
That'll be another one down.
Yeah.
And it's just on to, you know.
Then you'll do the next, then it'll be finished, and then you'll be like, I'm going to buy a new house.
Anything can happen. That market, though.
Oh, yeah.
Rough. You're going to need to find me a woman to split the cost. Jesus.
Yeah.
Too much. Too damn high.
Rent is too damn high.
It's like I was talking to the one friend from volleyball, and she like sent me a picture of food that she was making on like Valentine's Day maybe or something. No, I think it was before Valentine's Day. Because Valentine's Day I was playing volleyball, and the whole joke was like, there's not going to be anybody here because all the couples are out on like date night, and there's only eight of us. It was a couple of the older guys and me, and everybody was like, yeah, I noticed there's nobody here because, you know, they're all on date night. And I looked around and I go, yeah, what does that say about this guy? Everybody's just laughing and whatever. But she sent me a picture of like the food that she was making. It was just like some whatever. And I was like, I think it was maybe chicken parm or something. And I was like, oh, I take delivery, you know, whatever. She's like, you can't afford my delivery fees. And I was like, $350? You know, the old $350? And she goes, absolutely not. And then hit me with like what her rent cost is. And I went, absolutely not. That's way more than what my mortgage is.
It's fucking wild.
And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'd be more inclined not to even necessarily, we don't need to talk about this on this podcast.
To not necessarily buy a house, but to build a new one.
Yeah. Yeah,
you see they're doing the one at the bottom of town? The one that I've joked about buying before?
No. There's someone working on it?
The one that's across from Stewart's.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been working.
I think I saw a dumpster there or something.
Yeah, they like hired a construction because they were doing siding and stuff that. And there's a for sale sign in front of it. That's the one that I debated buying multiple times over because I think it was foreclosed on so many times that the bank had it at like $10,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And then I need to put like $110,000 into it to fix it, if not more, probably.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the problem is construction is also expensive.
Yeah. There's always that thought, man, like, what if I just built one? And then it's like, well, do you really want to build one up here? And then I'm like, well.
Yeah.
You know, everything gets met with the what if questions. And it's like, okay, let's just sustain then.
Yeah.
Sustain until I can find a reason to do something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we looked into, we're kind of looking into it now to see how viable of an option it is. But it seems like. I mean, the average across the state is $182 a square foot, which is pretty pricey. Like, if you add in
many square feet are in, how big?
Your house is probably 2,000 square feet, I would guess.
I have no idea, so okay.
Like, that's what I've been doing is roughly 2,000 square feet, which is, I think, pretty close to $400,000.
I tell you right now, this house, not $400,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the, yeah, so it's like 300 for 2,000 square foot, but that's, I don't know if that includes lot development, like, you know, running utilities and all that. I think that's literally just.
Utilities, foundations, power, like all the,
From what I've read online, it usually ends up being like the indoor pool, yeah.
Where do I put my giraffes? Yeah, the
five-stall garage.
Where do I put my giraffes?
The fucking unicorn pen.
Here's where I have all my hopes and dreams.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the older guys at work, and he built a house in 2000, I think like 2005, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Relatively new.
He bought a lot.
I don't even want to know.
In Marcy.
Okay.
At the end of like a cul-de-sac. Like, a bunch of. With utilities already ran to it, like good to go, ready to go. $18,000. Yeah.
I'd do that right now if I could find it.
Yeah.
You told me here's a decent spot with this.
Mm-hmm.
$20,000, I'd go.
We've talked about it. Because we've talked about it like we'll just buy land and fucking sit on it for a couple years. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
But.
There's a couple spots I'll tell you after this of like where I'm like, I hope somebody moves.
Yeah.
But all right. Until next time, 7 days from now. Toodaloo. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.